248-539-9797. Jim will be off. Obviously, he's off today and tomorrow and then back. You guys go to Vegas on Friday.
Yeah, right after the show. We leave it on a jet plane.
Beautiful.
Heading out to Vegas. Yep.
Hang at the Circa. You guys have fun. All the celebrities that'll be at this, you know, stadium swim.
There's a chance, if we can get Derek Stevens to provide the cabana, that Jim Costa provides the cabana outfit.
Ooh.
I'm not sure. This is a morbid curiosity for me.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure I actually want to be there with him in the cabana outfit.
Is it really a one piece?
No. It's not.
It's
a onesie?
It's not a onesie. A romper.
It looked like a onesie. He says it's not, so I don't know. We'll find out.
What time do you get there on Thursday night?
I don't know. I think we get there like Vegas time at like 5:30-ish.
Is there any?
Greg's going with us. Greg, what time do we land? I want to say it's like 5:30.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Like last year, I was testing out the equipment with the guys from the Valeni show, so that was right around 6:00.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Is anything going on at the Sphere, like the Dead and Company or the Eagles or something? So you guys should go.
That would be sweet.
Yeah, I don't know. Like Thursday night. I haven't even looked into that.
You should. Here's what you should actually do, even if there's not. You should.
Well, is the Sphere? Is that on the?
It's on the Strip.
On the Strip.
Yeah. It's next to the Phoenician.
My wife and I have been trying to make plans to go to Vegas. We were supposed to go there in 2020 to see George Strait originally. Finally got a chance to see him at Ford Field. But I told her that I wouldn't go to the Strip until I went there with her.
I remember you saying that last time, which seems so silly to me.
Especially because until you and I went, it was the first time I'd ever been in Vegas.
Yeah.
Right. But however, the Sphere, you can still keep that, even though the Sphere's on the Strip. You don't have to walk around the Strip. You just go right to the Sphere.
Yeah.
And see, even if there's no concert, they do this movie.
On the outside of it?
No, inside.
Oh, inside of it?
It's unbelievable. It's like about Earth and things like that. It is amazing.
I'd like that.
Yeah. It's, you know, animals flying over. I mean, it's incredible.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
You would like it.
Yeah.
You really would.
I don't know. Greg, you up for that?
Sure.
All right.
That'd be sweet.
I got one. Yeah, we'll leave Costa at the cabana.
Yeah,
well, he should go too.
Laying out. Look at me.
Yes. All right. The Lions had three big questions heading into preseason, right?
Yes. Well, I think the biggest three questions that you could say of the Lions is, who's going to be the backup quarterback?
Check, we know.
Yeah, I believe you and I have solved that issue.
Yes.
Is Jake Bates going to be the kicker, and will he be good enough? Will you have enough trust in him to be the kicker? And then third, and this one's kind of developed a little bit more since the start of camp, but who's wide receiver four?
You and I both think it should be Isaiah Williams, right?
Yes. So I think we have solved the issue of Hendon Hooker versus Nate Sudfeld. I think they solved that on the field. That should be plain and obvious to everyone. And obviously when you think about what Donovan Peoples-Jones and Isaiah Williams have done, because it really feels like it's kind of between those two guys. If they keep five, I could see them keeping both, Donovan Peoples-Jones and Isaiah Williams. If they only go with four, I think it should be Isaiah Williams because of what we've seen. There seems to be a fire and a desperation that he shows more so than any of them, and he kind of feels like he fits the, you mentioned the list of Amon-Ra St. Brown and how you're so sick of it. It feels like he has that drive and desire. Mm-hmm. When you watch him run routes, there's a desperation in the way that he runs the routes. They're crisp. They're clean. He fights for the ball. There was that same desperation when he was on that punt return in the fourth quarter that set them up for the game-winning field goal, and Jake Bates going out there to kick his game winner. I just feel like he has done more. Now, this week on Saturday, I hope Hendon Hooker starts the game, and I hope Donovan Peoples-Jones and Isaiah Williams get to play the same amount of time with Hendon Hooker so that we can compare passes thrown by him to both guys. Routes run by both guys that are going to be similar routes. How do they run them? Do they find a way to get open? And then we'll evaluate Hendon Hooker. We'll also be able to evaluate both of those guys.
Now, somebody texted in and said they don't think Raymond is a legitimate number three. They should go get somebody else. I think he could be, in this offense, Laporte is actually the number three receiver, if you think about it, right?
Well, yeah.
Or I mean, maybe even number Laporte, maybe
depends
even number
on
two.
Where you put Gibbs.
Okay. So that's right. I forgot about him. Now, Gov mentioned these people, the pride of Detroit, but they throw out an interesting name, somebody who's available right now. Brandon Knapp wrote this story, Why the Lions Should Sign Julio Jones. Now, he's 35 years old. He played for the Eagles last year. Didn't do much. They only targeted him not that many times.
Well, weren't his targets and his numbers very similar to Josh Reynolds?
No, I think they were. Well, he was targeted 19 times.
Oh, okay, much less.
Yeah, and 11 receptions.
Okay, never mind.
Okay, but he's a big guy, supposedly a great teammate, has been to two Super Bowls, I believe, or at least definitely one. Yeah, one Super Bowl. And he went to one with, did he go with one with Tampa too? No, anyway, irrelevant. Here's the deal. He can catch in the end zone. Now, I don't know if he'd have the same production as when the last time it states in the article that the Lions got a veteran wide receiver. That was Anquan Boldin, who did pretty well. You wouldn't have to pay him a lot.
No. I mean, he's just looking for another year in the league.
Yeah.
So 6'3", 220 pounds. He would be that bigger target. I definitely think you should kick the tires on it. Bring him in.
Right.
See what type of condition he's in. Watch him run some routes, throw him some balls, and then have that conversation. All right, you're not going to be wide receiver one.
Right, he knows
you're
that.
You're not going to. Oh, and we get caught up in wide receiver one, two, three, all that stuff. You're not going to be option one.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be option two. You're probably not going to be option three or four. You're going to be all the way down to five, and we need you in the red zone. We need you to have a high percentage of catches for first downs.
Mm-hmm.
That's the role we need you to fill. And if he says, I am just simply looking for an opportunity to play football again, I don't care what it is. I want to play football. I want to play for a title contender. Detroit is now in that category.
He caught 11 balls last year. Three of them were for touchdowns.
I mean, I'm not against it.
No,
I think the problem is when you start to go to receiver four or five, John, those are guys that often help on special teams.
What did Josh Reynolds do on special teams?
I know. He was the three. He wasn't the four or the five. The four or the five usually help on special teams. So you're getting this crunch at the bottom. You see what I'm saying?
But okay.
Now you've got
about
your
options.
Three. Your three is playing special teams, so it takes a little bit away from what I'm saying with Raymond.
Right.
But you're just getting into this place where you have a guy on your team that can do one thing.
That's what Josh Reynolds did.
I know. But, I mean, Julio Jones is going on to what? Would this be his fifth team?
Yes, it will be his fifth team, yes.
I'd rather have him than Michael Thomas.
Yes.
Right, I agree. But I'm not saying go sign him today. I'm saying bring him in, where he's at.
Last year, Philly signed him like in October.
But why are you doing that versus Hunter Renfrow?
Again, kick the tires. Bring him in. Renfrow can play special teams, but you're not getting what if you're looking for a big body receiver. That's not Hunter Renfrow.
Right.
We got this text earlier, and I don't think we read it. Who are Baltimore's and Kansas City's big receivers?
Mark Andrews.
We're making
Laporta. AJ Brown's not huge. I mean, the day of the real big 6'4 receiver. Look, I know Jamar Chase is tall. There's a few others, but it's not like it used to be. Okay,
yes.
Here's the other thing for Julio Jones. You put Julio Jones with actually a good offensive coordinator compared to the crap that he had in Philadelphia last year?
That's my whole point, is this is not a guy that you're looking for 60 catches.
Right.
You're looking for somewhere between 30 and 40. And of those 30 and 40 catches, now I don't have the exact numbers in front of me for Josh Reynolds, but I know that, you know, of the, you know, say 35 catches that he had, it was a ridiculous number where it was something like 26 of them were for first downs. And then another, you know, five or six were for touchdowns. So you're looking for a guy that is your last option when they take away Amon-Ra St. Brown, Laporta, Gibbs, J-Mo, that you're just looking to check down for converting a first down.
The way I think they use Reynolds, Reynolds was an option that he was good enough to where you could game plan him. That's what they did in the Rams game.
Yeah.
They flat out game plan him to start the game and said, okay, Rams, you're going to take away all this. Well, what about this? Yeah. And that's really ideally what you want to try to find out there. A guy that is good enough on his own. That's why I like Renfro. I think he's good enough to assume a role like that where you could say, okay, we're going to come out at the beginning of the game. We're going to target him 3 out of 4 plays to start the game, and it's going to get the defense on their heels, and it opens up everything.
John, to your point, Josh Reynolds last season caught 40 balls. 32 were for first downs.
Yep.
With 5 touchdowns.
And 5 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about a guy that is a very unique and specific skill set.
But he also is going to be part of something I'm going to get sick of talking about or thinking about maybe in the next 10 years. He dropped the most important pass in Lions history. Okay. Our telephone number is 248-539-9790. If he catches the ball, they're going to the Super Bowl.
Founders Brewing Company. I'm looking for a good drink right now. Has been making high-quality beers right here in Michigan for over 25 years with a focus on using the highest quality ingredients. You can always count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. And with that focus on quality, they set out to create a beer that lets you have it all. And it's right in the name. It's all-day IPA, and here's what you get. A refreshing and deliciously flavorful beer, easy drinking and high quality. All-day IPA is an IPA that is naturally brewed with an array of malts, grains, and hops, creating a delicious citrusy taste and a clean finish. It's the perfect beer for anyone looking to make the ordinary extraordinary and the good times great. And speaking of great times, we've got a whole lot of them coming up right now, whether it's Saturday or Sunday or any game day during the week. All Day IPA is the perfect beer for anyone on game days, whether you're tailgating at home or at the ballpark. Visit foundersbrewing.com to find All Day IPA. All Day IPA, it's all in the taste. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
Lions win it 24-23. Doesn't mean much, but it was nice that got a sack there from Pascal. You got a sack from Betts, who just blew by that guy. You know, that was the first, you know, thing we've seen from Betts, who I have a feeling will end up on the practice squad.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, just still give him some more time to develop, see if he can be a guy that if somebody goes down, may be able to come in and give you a few reps.
All right, now, so John, I do want to ask you this, because you obviously know a hell of a lot more about football and it's particularly offensive line play than I do or ever pretend to. What do you think of the depth of this offensive line? Did they improve enough in your mind to be confident, God forbid, there's an injury?
Well, so it depends where you're talking about.
Good. But let's break it down.
I'm hoping to see, I don't know when Mahogany is going to be available.
Mm-hmm.
I think he could add nice depth, but I'm going off of what I saw in college, and it's going to take him a little time to get up to speed. Awosika, I think, is a good depth piece. We saw him last year in the NFC Championship game and didn't notice any drop-off. Mm-hmm. I think that's good. And obviously, if Frank goes down, you can move Graham over. You put Awosika in. And Skipper can be, right now, serviceable at the tackle position. Other than that, Colby Sorsdahl, I'm really disappointed in his development. There are times where, and there was I forget what series it was, but it was basically a read play to the right. Linebacker ran right through his gap, and he just does not play with good enough technique because he is a guy that is somewhat limited in his skill set. So if you're going to be limited in your skill set and athletic ability, you've got to play with good technique. Got his shoulders turned, wasn't able to get back on the linebacker, and it was a 5-yard loss. And that was not an exotic blitz. It was just simply he was double teaming with the tight end up to the linebacker. Linebacker runs through, he doesn't touch him. And I have there's been other instances where even if it's a one-on-one block where he just is very limited. So I don't know that he is going to be a guy that you want to see go in the game, whether it's at guard or tackle. So they could use some reinforcements. There's no question about it. And maybe Mahogany is that guy. I would like to have another tackle that could go in. I know you get Skipper. So if you're looking at, okay, you got your starting five, and if you're going to keep, what, nine linemen?
Mm-hmm.
Skipper, Owosika, Mahogany, but he'll be, you know, I'm guessing he'll start either on the pup or IR. Sorsdahl and somebody else. So if, other than Skipper and Owosika, there's nobody else really right now that I want to see go in the game.
And that could be a problem because last year, you know, Glasgow, you know, because, you know, Vitae got hurt.
Not ready. I'm still very intrigued by him.
Right.
He's not ready.
Right. So, like, Glasgow took Vitae's place for a little bit, you know, and then, boom, when Jonah Jackson gets hurt, you definitely needed somebody. And that was, that was Glasgow was a perfect guy, but now he's a starter. So, yes, you're a little thin there. By the way, doing some research for you, John and Greg. Mm-hmm. Thursday, 7 o'clock. So what time do you land?
Around 5:30-ish.
Go to the hotel. Maybe you can...
freshen up a little bit.
Freshen up. Maybe Derek can get you a lift that you have to do it yourself, but whatever. Sphere Experience featuring the Postcard from Earth is Thursday at 7 o'clock. I'm telling you, you should go.
Postcard from Earth.
It's called Postcard from Earth. You should go.
Vegas time, by the way, 7 o'clock. We're going to land about 6 o'clock Eastern.
Oh, you're landing 6 o'clock.
About 6 Eastern, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were landing 5 o'clock Vegas time.
Okay, so we'll have more time in the afternoon.
We'll have plenty of time.
Oh, yeah. I'm serious.
The problem is it's 7 o'clock Vegas time that starts. That's 10 o'clock our time, right? That's bedtime.
No.
Stayed over that Lions game last year.
You got one.
Yeah, but that was something to stay up for.
You got one night, right?
Yes, but then it follows into the following day
because
we have a four-hour show.
And then you get on the plane and you sleep home. What? Come on.
And then I land and hit the ground running because there's two football practices. There's softball that weekend. There happens to be a Michigan football game that weekend, which is also not starting until late.
Greg,
it's going to be another late night.
Greg, I thought he was tough.
I am tough for the things I want to be tough for. I also have to, you know, at some point get some sleep. I will get my annual Fremont Street.
You should think about
every year I do that.
I know you do. You should think about it. All right, time for news. Here's Heather.
I'm with you, Stoney. I think it would be a really cool experience. And I'm normally like you. Like I would, I better get some sleep because it's going to catch up with me. But I don't know. I think it'd be cool to do.
We'll see.
If you were curious about what Connor Stallions is up to now after the whole sign stealing investigation at Michigan, some people are. You know what? I did ask that question a while ago. Like,
What's he doing now?
He just started a new job as a defensive coordinator at Detroit's Mumford High School. So the coach, William McMichael, who recently took the role as the head coach, said bringing Stallions into the team was an easy decision. Stallions not only connected with him, but is also connected with the players. And McMichael's also says that he has not and is not concerned about the public scrutiny on Stallions or the team. But he did note that Mumford is not used to getting very much attention as the team has won just two games in the last three seasons.
Yeah. And plus, I was reading, I think it was Mick McCabe, and the media was there to, you know, see him, whatever, maybe talk to him. I mean, they did a whole cat and mouse, they called it, for like 6 hours. What time they were practicing, this, that, the other thing.
Yeah.
You know, look, it's Mumford. I mean, who's their offensive coordinator? Axel Foley?
Possibly.
John, one of your former teammates is in some trouble after he was caught doing something pretty nasty on a recent Delta flight. So former NFL player Gosder Chiralis was arrested after he allegedly peed on another passenger. Yeah, caused a disturbance, disorderly conduct during a flight that was headed to Ireland that had to be routed back to Boston late Saturday night. He was arrested at the airport after flight attendants requested, obviously, some backup. He caused a big scene when they entered the airplane. He didn't want to be escorted off the plane, but he was.
Are some federal charges, too, so he may... Yes, that's disgusting.
Did they say whether he was inebriated or just was being...
It doesn't. In my head, you'd have to be
even
remotely consider doing that. But maybe he was just so irate that he was like,
I'm gonna
guess
go
what?
Now.
I gotta go and going on you.
Yeah.
Oh. Gross.
Yes. I wonder if he'll... I don't even want to comment on it. No. That's just so disgusting.
Did you hear about the Simone Biles controversy that she's causing amongst football fans?
Yes.
Yeah, she was spotted wearing a Green Bay Packers jacket with her husband's photos all over it at a Chicago Bears preseason game on Saturday. So the jacket featured pictures of Jonathan Owens playing for the Packers last season. He recently inked the deal with the Bears, in March. But she was on the sideline, and Bears fans just were in dismay, and they took to Twitter and basically said, you know what? He needs to have a talk with her.
Well, she probably just didn't realize. I don't know how big of a football fan she is besides watching her husband, but it's an awful look. I mean, the Bears fans, the Bears-Packers rivalry is bigger than anything else in our division. I mean, Bear fans don't hate the Lions like they hate the Packers.
Yeah.
And there were some people that said, I don't think it's a big deal. It's a jacket that honors her husband.
Right.
Maybe she didn't have enough time. Maybe she's got a custom jacket coming.
Right.
But she doesn't have pictures of him playing.
There's not a lot of pictures of him playing yet. For the Bears. So.
You don't wear a Packer. I'm giving her the pass that she didn't know the significance of the rivalry.
I mean, even if she didn't know that, I'm surprised she's still just knowing that he no longer plays for the Packers, that she would wear it. Maybe she just had it. She was a little chilly and said, you know what?
I'm going to put it on.
I'm going to wear it.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me, but I'm surprised she did it nonetheless. So we've been talking about Tyreek Hill. He's come up in conversation today about wanting to race Noah Lyles. I've got another story about him. Well, not really about him. It's about his mom. His mom is in, I could be some trouble. She allegedly slapped a woman and then later broke her necklace during an altercation that took place last month. Yeah. Huh. So there's a police report that's been filed. Apparently his mom... It was a friend, right? They were in a car together, slapped the friend across the face, and then told her, you got to get out of the car. And then once the friend was out of the car, said, nah, it's raining, come back in the car, and tried to, like, pull her in and then broke her gold necklace. Oh. And now the friend says she's never gotten the necklace back. So she basically filed the police report, I think, just to get the necklace back. Because she says, you know what? I don't want her to go to jail or anything.
Right.
But I do want my stuff back.
Yeah.
Maybe she's fixing it.
Maybe.
It could be an explanation.
It could be it.
Who maybe knows? She's going to give it to Tyreek to race against Noah Lyles.
Put it up as the bounty.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Thank you very much, Heather. All right. Coming up next, something that took place in the Lions-Chiefs game that I don't think we've seen before. Will we see it again? 97 won the ticket.
Hey, looking for ways to level up your fitness? Well, the YMCA is always welcoming new members with no contract and no joiner fees. I'm loving the YMCA family membership with access to indoor pools, Les Mills group fitness, hundreds of machines, all with free child watch while you work out and for less than $3 a day. And today you can go and try the Y for free. Visit any of the 7 Metro Detroit locations and get a free guest pass. Learn more at ymcadetroit.org and find what moves you today.
If you didn't see it, it was fun.
It was cool. I know some people get sick of them.
So
both of them, but Mahomes and Kelce, particularly Mahomes, he's cool.
He is. And you could tell that the two dudes just have fun playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get sick of their success. You can get sick of his voice, of the attention that they get. But they're just guys that are out there having fun playing the game for a coach that not very demonstrative on the sideline, but you could tell he enjoys his job as well.
Yes.
And just so everybody asks the question, is this planned or not? And I'll share my take on it after hear from Travis Kelce, who was on Kansas City's home broadcast. And then later Patrick Mahomes said that, Travis Kelce messed up the play. He was not running the right route. And you can hear why he couldn't understand Patrick Mahomes as they're going to the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. I love his imitation there,
yes,
too. So he wasn't in the right spot. And Mahomes actually said that he was mad at Kelce for not running the right route. So that's why he did it. And when you watch it, if he tries to throw it over top of the defensive lineman, it's probably floating too much, and Kelce probably gets a lit up. That might have been a better response. Hey, if you're not going to run the right route, I'm going to expose you, and you can take a hit. Or it gets tipped by the D lineman. That was about the only way to make that throw. So I do believe it was impromptu. I don't think it was planned to be run like that.
I disagree. I just think it was so in stride. Everything was so perfect on that play that I kind of think it was at least an option that was talked about, plan. I don't know, but look, I'm not going to call him a liar. I just when I watch it, it's like, oh my god, what a great call! It's like, but
call or not, that's just a dude that's out there having fun playing the game.
Yeah, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I thought it was very entertaining, and it was obviously all over every sportscast.
Yes,
it was a highlight, and it'll continue to be one, even though it's a preseason game, and that reception will not count for anything. It will be erased. It was erased after the game.
Right.
But it was fun.
And it's also something, okay, even if it was, regardless whether it was planned or not, is that something, John, that a defensive staff, when they're preparing to play the Chiefs, have to say, all right, listen, we have to look for this now?
No, you just defend the play as is. And if that happens, it happens. You tackle Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pass, all right? Right. And we've seen sidearm passes. Everybody talks about the arm angle and launch and all these different things for different quarterbacks.
People have done no-look passes.
Yeah. It's what you get when you play Patrick Mahomes. He could make a play like that or others you didn't see coming, and you just have to defend it.
Mm-hmm. Is there a play in sports, watching whether it's – or even if you participated, but in watching, you don't have to be there at the game, but on TV, that it's something you say, oh my God, I can't believe what I just saw. I've never seen that before. 248-539-9797.
Well, for you, it's probably the three-point shot, right? Or the slam dunk?
No.
You were there at the origination, right? Oh my God, I've never seen that before.
No, they were.
That's new.
I saw slam dunks.
The forward before. Pass?
Okay. Keep going. Yes. Keep going. When the Indy 500, when they actually had like wheels. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. Uh-huh, yeah.
It used to be the Soapbox Derby.
Mm-hmm.
For me, you know what it was?
What's that?
It actually took place at your alma mater. I think it was actually, I'm not sure if it was at your alma mater or in a game with your alma mater. The Michigan goal. When I saw Mike Legg, when he puts the puck on his stick and he does. I was like the coolest thing I ever saw in my life.
Yes.
Being a hockey fan. That was just unbelievable. Now, you know, it's been done since then a few times, but I love the fact that they call it the Michigan.
Right.
Everybody, no matter where you are.
Right, because that's the first time, he picked it up with his stick and wrapped it around and scored.
I mean, I'm not going to say this rivaled that, but in football, you never see a behind-the-back pass.
Well, so I believe in hockey, there's a lot of guys that can flip the puck up on their stick, and maybe not in the moment, but that's a skill that they could do, and we've seen it many times. There's not a lot of quarterbacks that could throw that pass. I don't know that there's another quarterback that could throw that pass behind their back like that. Maybe there are, and they just don't want to take the risk of doing that. Patrick Mahomes has a lot of cachet. If it's incomplete, so what? If it's intercepted, so what?
A lot of guys, you're right, a lot of guys can put the puck on their stick, but not a lot of guys, while they're skating fast, can put the puck on their stick, keep it on the stick, and with centrifugal force, be able to score a goal.
Wow, you had full physics on that.
Well, I mean, that's what it is, really, I think. It certainly sounded good, didn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yes, yes. Well, the gravity 9.87 cents per meter squared. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I just feel like that one is not as unique as in the middle of a game a quarterback throwing a behind the back pass that is on the money like that.
248-539-9797. Ticket text, or we'll take your phone calls. Mahomes goes behind the back against the Lions. Is there a play that you remember? Is there something that you said, oh my God, I've never seen that before, that has really cool, because what Mahomes did was really cool. And for me, it was the first time I saw the, quote, Michigan wasn't called there, Mike Legg's goal in a college hockey game was just...
I don't watch a lot of golf. And when I saw this, you guys had said, well, this has happened before. But in the practice round at the Masters, when they skipped the ball across the water.
I got so much. Remember, were you working with me when I got grief? I thought it was the most unbelievable thing, because they do it all the time.
Maybe we were both amazed at the same time.
Yeah.
Because I remember bringing that up, and everybody was like, oh, no, that happens all the time.
I know.
Like, I've never seen it.
I know. I thought it was like the greatest shot ever, and like people were like laughing at me.
Yeah, skip a ball across the water and make a hole-in-one?
Right.
First of all, the hole-in-one.
Yeah.
Second of all, skipping it that way.
I know.
It just seems to me like that one is... When I saw it, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe somebody did that.
Well, here's one...
To answer your question.
You know, that, you know, you like, you know, playing, you know, Stoney the old guy card. And this one is, because I... And now everybody does it. Everybody does it. But the first time I saw, and the world saw...
Dribble between your legs?
No. We all saw the Globetrotters. The Fosbury flop.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Right? The high jump.
Like a year or two ago.
Yeah. I mean, going over backwards. Nobody did that before him.
Right.
And now, I remember when I saw this. Oh, my God. Look at this, Dad. This guy's flipping backwards. Now everybody does it.
Yes.
But he was the first.
Uh-huh.
Thus the name... The Fosbury flop.
Mm-hmm.
248-539-9797 is the telephone number. We'll take your texts, your calls. It's the Costa and Jansen program with Heather. And I'm Stoney, sitting in for Jim. 97 won the ticket.
Hey, you've heard us talk a ton about FanDuel. It's America's number one sports book. Well, we've got something a little different for you. This going on right now through September the 22nd. All FanDuel customers, it's not new, it's not old, it's all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. That's a $5 bet, and you're going to get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then with the YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel at any time. All you got to do is visit FanDuel.com/Jansen to download America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Cool play. Mahomes behind the back preseason against the Lions to Travis Kelce, who you heard there, courtesy of the Chiefs TV network, and debate whether it was planned or not. I kind of think it kind of was. Kelce obviously said no. Mahomes said no. More importantly, John Jansen says no. So I'm in the minority for a change. 248-539-9797. So we're asking, you know, what plays that you saw for the first time you said, oh, my God, I've never seen this before. And mine was the Mike Legg goal for Michigan's hockey, where he had the puck on the blade of his stick, and he wrapped it around, and it, like centrifugal force, whatever, and scored a goal like that. And then it's been done a few times since, and I'm convinced. And they call it the Michigan. However, somebody disputes me on this, and maybe some hockey nistas will be able to tell me if I'm right or wrong. It's not called the Michigan. It's called the Legg. Why do they call the Forsberg effing goal the Forsberg goal and not the Sweden goal? I don't know, but it's called the Michigan. I've always heard it when somebody else does it. It's called, oh, he did the Michigan.
I don't know.
Maybe it's just me. Okay, here's some more. Pavel Datsyuk, nasty breakaway move. Oh, he had a couple that were, yes, you've never seen that before. Mahomes did that same play in practice earlier in the week. That's Mike in a truck.
I do remember them showing practice film of him doing something like
ESPN
that.
ESPN showed the Chiefs run that play in practice. It was definitely planned. Of course it was planned. You can see Kelce ready to catch it before it was passed. John is either naive or he has a man crush on Patty. No, his man crush retired from football playing quarterback, so he does not have a man crush on Patty. Stoney was amazed when they first put nets on the basketball hoop. Well, I talked about this the other day when...
When they put on leather helmets?
No.
What are those? Those hard caps that they have on their head now?
Yeah, the Guardian caps, leather helmets.
No. Oh, actual helmets.
Yeah, I know.
They're not using the pig's bladder anymore? What is this?
We were talking about, Hatchett brought, because we were talking about, you know, the Little League World Series and the fact the Tigers were playing in Williamsport. Yeah. Now, obviously, they played in a real, they were playing in a Little League field, but we were talking about different games and strange venues, you know, the Winter Classic and, you know, there might be a baseball game.
If you didn't see it, it was fun.
It was cool. I know some people get sick of them.
So
both of them, but Mahomes and Kelce, particularly Mahomes, he's cool.
He is. And you could tell that the two dudes just have fun playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get sick of their success. You can get sick of his voice, of the attention that they get. But they're just guys that are out there having fun playing the game for a coach that not very demonstrative on the sideline, but you could tell he enjoys his job as well.
Yes.
And just so everybody asks the question, is this planned or not? And I'll share my take on it after hear from Travis Kelce, who was on Kansas City's home broadcast. And then later, Patrick Mahomes said that, you know, Travis Kelce messed up the play. He was not running the right route. And you can hear why he couldn't understand Patrick Mahomes as they're going to the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. I love his imitation there,
yes,
too. So he wasn't in the right spot. And Mahomes actually said that he was mad at Kelce for not running the right route. So that's why he did it. And when you watch it, if he tries to throw it over top of the defensive lineman, it's probably floating too much, and Kelce probably gets lit up. That might have been a better response. Hey, if you're not going to run the right route, I'm going to expose you, and you can take a hit. Or it gets tipped by the D lineman. That was about the only way to make that throw. So I do believe it was impromptu. I don't think it was planned to be run like that.
I disagree. I just think it was so in stride. Everything was so perfect on that play that I kind of think it was at least an option that was talked about. I don't know. But look, I'm not going to call him a liar. I just, when I watch it, it's like, oh my God, what a great call. It's like... But
call or not, that's just a dude that's out there having fun playing the game.
Yeah, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I thought it was very entertaining, and it was obviously all over every sportscast.
Yes,
it was a highlight, and it'll continue to be one, even though it's a preseason game, and that reception will not count for anything. It will be erased. It was erased after the game,
right?
But it was fun,
and it's also something. Okay, even if it was, regardless whether it was planned or not. Is that something, John, that a defensive staff, when they're preparing to play the Chiefs, have to say, all right, listen, we have to look for this now?
No, you just defend the play as is. And if that happens, it happens. You tackle Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pass, all right? And we've seen sidearm passes. Everybody talks about the arm angle and launch and all these different things for different quarterbacks.
People have done no-look passes.
Yeah. It's just... It's what you get when you play Patrick Mahomes. He could make a play like that or others you didn't see coming, and you just have to defend it.
Mm-hmm. Is there a play in sports, watching whether it's, or even if you participated, but in watching, you don't have to be there at the game, but on TV, that it's something you say, oh my God, I can't believe what I just saw. I've never seen that before. 248-539-9797.
Well, for you, it's probably the three-point shot, right? Or the slam dunk?
No.
You were there at the origination, right? Oh, my God, I've never seen that before.
No, they were...
That's new.
I've saw slam dunks
The forward
before.
Pass?
Okay, keep going. Yes, keep going. When the Indy 500, when they actually had like wheels, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
It used to be the Soapbox Derby.
Mm-hmm.
For me, you know what it was?
What's that?
It actually took place at your alma mater. I think it was actually, I'm not sure if it was at your alma mater or in a game with your alma mater. The Michigan goal. When I saw Mike Legg, when he puts the puck on his stick and he does. I was like the coolest thing I ever saw in my life.
Yes.
Being a hockey fan. I was just unbelievable. Now, you know, it's been done since then a few times, but I love the fact that they call it the Michigan.
Right.
Everybody, no matter where you are.
Right, because that's the first time, he picked it up with his stick and wrapped it around and scored.
I mean, I'm not going to say this rivaled that, but in football, you never see a behind-the-back pass.
Well, so I believe in hockey, there's a lot of guys that can flip the puck up on their stick, and maybe not in the moment, but that's a skill that they could do, and we've seen it many times. There's not a lot of quarterbacks that could throw that pass. I don't know that there's another quarterback that could throw that pass behind their back like that. Maybe there are, and they just don't want to take the risk of doing that. Patrick Mahomes has a lot of cachet. If it's incomplete, so what? If it's intercepted, so what?
You're right. A lot of guys can put the puck on their stick, but not a lot of guys, while they're skating fast, can put the puck on their stick, keep it on the stick, and with centrifugal force, be able to score a goal.
Wow, that you full physics on that.
Well, I mean, that's what it is, really, I think. It certainly sounded good, didn't it?
Yeah, it does, yes. Yes. Well, the gravity, 9.87 cents per meter squared. Mm-hmm. I don't know if... I just feel like that one is not as unique as, in the middle of a game, a quarterback throwing a behind-the-back pass that is on the money like that.
248-539-9797, ticket text, or we'll take your phone calls. Mahomes goes behind the back against the Lions. Is there a play that you remember? Is there something that you said, oh my God, I've never seen that before? That is really cool, because what Mahomes did was really cool. And for me, it was the first time I saw the, quote, Michigan, it wasn't called there, Mike Legg's goal in a college hockey game.
I don't watch a lot of golf. And when I saw this, you guys had said, well, this has happened before. But in the practice round at the Masters, when they skipped the ball across the water.
I got so much. Remember, were you working with me when I got grief? I thought it was the most unbelievable thing. Because they do it all the time.
Maybe we were both amazed at the same time.
Yeah.
Because I remember bringing that up, and everybody was like, oh, no, that happens all the time.
I know.
Like, I've never seen it.
I know. I thought it was like the greatest shot ever, and like people were like laughing at me.
Yeah, skip a ball across the water and make a hole-in-one?
Right.
First of all, a hole-in-one.
Yeah.
Second of all, skipping it that way.
I know.
It just seems to me like that one is... When I saw it, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe somebody did that.
Well, here's one...
To answer your question.
You know, that you know you like you know playing you know Stoney the old guy card. And this one is because I... And now everybody does it. Everybody does it. But the first time I saw, and the world saw...
Dribble between your legs?
No. We all saw the Globetrotters. The Fosbury flop.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Right? The high jump.
Like a year or two ago.
Yeah. I mean, going over backwards. Nobody did that before him.
Right.
And now, I remember when I saw it, oh my God, look at this, Dad. This guy's flipping backwards. Now everybody does it.
Yes.
But he was the first.
Uh-huh.
Thus the name... The Fosbury flop.
Mm-hmm.
248-539-9797 is the telephone number. We'll take your texts, your calls. It's the Costa and Jansen program with Heather. And I'm Stoney, sitting in for Jim. 97 won the ticket.
Hey, you've heard us talk a ton about FanDuel. It's America's number one sports book. Well, we've got something a little different for you. This going on right now through September the 22nd. All FanDuel customers, it's not new, it's not old, it's all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. That's a $5 bet, and you're going to get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then with the YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel at any time. All you got to do is visit FanDuel.com/Jansen to download America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Cool play. Mahomes behind the back preseason against the Lions to Travis Kelce, who you heard there, courtesy of the Chiefs TV network, and debate whether it was planned or not. I kind of think it kind of was. Kelce obviously said no. Mahomes said no. More importantly, John Jansen says no. So I'm in the minority for a change. 248-539-9797. So we're asking, you know, what plays that you saw like for the first time, you said, oh my God, I've never seen this before. And mine was the Mike Legg goal for Michigan's hockey, where he had the puck on his on the blade of his stick, and he wrapped it around, and it, like centrifugal force, whatever, and yeah, scored a goal like that. And then it's been done a few times since, and I'm convinced. And it's they call it the Michigan. However, somebody disputes me on this, and maybe some hockey nistas will be able to tell me if I'm right or wrong. It's not called the Michigan. It's called the Legg. Why do they call the Forsberg effing goal the Forsberg goal and not the Sweden goal? I don't know, but it's called the Michigan. I've always heard it when somebody else does it. It's called, oh, he did the Michigan.
I don't know.
Maybe it's just me. Okay, here's some more. Pavel Datsyuk, nasty breakaway move. Oh, he had a couple that were, yes, you've never seen that before. Mahomes did that same play in practice earlier in the week. That's Mike in a truck.
I do remember them showing practice film of him doing something like
ESPN
that.
ESPN showed the Chiefs run that play in practice. It was definitely planned. Of course it was planned. You can see Kelce ready to catch it before it was passed. John is either naive or he has a man crush on Patty. No, his man crush retired from football playing quarterback, so he does not have a man crush on Patty. Stoney was amazed when they first put nets on the basketball hoop. Well, I talked about this the other day when
they put on leather helmets.
No,
what are those hard caps that they have on their head now?
Yeah, the Guardian caps, leather helmets.
No. Oh, actual helmets.
Yeah, I know.
They're not using the pig's bladder anymore. What is this?
We were talking about Hatchett brought, because we were talking about, you know, the Little League World Series and the fact the Tigers were playing in Williamsport. Yeah. Now, obviously, they played in a real, they were playing in a Little League field, but we were talking about different games in strange venues, you know, the Winter Classic and, you know, there might be a baseball game, the Braves and somebody, and at Bristol Raceway, we've seen.
Yeah, I've seen the drawings of it. Yeah.
Kind of cool. And I, you know, so always what kind of event would you like to see that you haven't seen before? I said, I'd love to see an NBA game played outside in the playground, like at Rucker in New York or something. I thought it'd be really cool. And they still had chains in the net. Chains instead of the nets. And
then, too many guys would get caught on the net.
Yeah, you're right. And then they could get injured. You're absolutely correct.
Yes. Did you see that Wrigley is going to host a couple of outdoor hockey games?
Yeah, the Big Ten. There, it's like a two-day doubleheader.
Two-day doubleheader. Yeah. Michigan is playing, I think, Ohio State on the first day.
Yeah. And Michigan State's playing somebody else.
I think Ohio State plays both days, and they're playing Michigan State the second day.
Oh, okay.
I believe.
Vince Carter's between the legs dunk. That was pretty damn unbelievable.
Yeah.
Vince from Davisburg here. The Kenny Pickett fake slide. My jaw was on the floor. Hadn't seen it before and couldn't believe it was not an immediate loss of down.
But it is now.
They changed the rules.
It's the Pickett.
Absolutely. The Pickett. Anyway, if your nose was on strike, would you pick it?
Why would it be on strike?
I don't know. It's just a stupid dad joke. Kevin Mitchell catching a fly ball barehanded.
Barehanded?
Yes, that was great.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Edmonds, when he dove towards the wall to catch that ball. Stoney is right. It is the Michigan goal. ESPN did a special, and it was called the Michigan goal. Thank you. Gilly at work. It's called the Michigan. No loser calls it the leg. And this is from a Michigan all sports diehard. Go blue. That's from John. Go blue, John. Gilly at work.
Yeah.
Thanks. Sometimes I actually do know what I'm talking about. Rare, but there are times. Tom in Wald Lake. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Tom.
Yes, good morning.
The first time I ever saw it, I thought it was pretty cool. Dan Marino, late in the football game, time's running out. They're driving for a winning touchdown, and he goes down and he's doing the, we're going to spike the ball, and then the defense relaxed, and he zipped the pass over to the wide receiver for a touchdown, and they won the game. I thought that was first time I'd ever seen it. I thought it was really cool.
That was, I believe that was a Monday night football game, too, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. Yeah, that's a great example. Mm-hmm. No, no doubt about it. By the
way, how about the first time you saw the Statue of Liberty play?
It's in my backyard, probably. Well, here's what, you know, believe me, it's nothing that I believe in, but I'm kind of surprised the way football and other sports rules are. Explain to me this, John. Why is the spike play not intentional grounding? And why, if in college football, if the knee touches the ground, the ball is dead, but it's okay for when the holder who has his knee on the ground to catch it and he's not down?
Well, there's a special exception made for the holder.
I know.
And I believe probably the same thing for the spike to be able to stop the clock. I mean, you could argue it's not intended for the tight end or running back, but they are within the realm of the rule.
I guess, yes. The fumble Ruski. That's right, Nebraska ran that play.
Mm-hmm.
The beast mode run. Oh, the first one in the playoff game probably is the one he's talking about. The Stafford fake spike to win against the Cowgirls, as it says here. And here's a terrific one. First time he saw Javi make a contact.
That's got to be from Tom.
No. Javi's, you know, he's had some home runs.
Oh, do you think he should be on the team next year?
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, I'm just asking the question. To be impressed.
No. Well, I was kind of like half impressed facetiously.
A little sarcasm in there?
Yeah, a little bit. Right. By the way, Javi will be playing, I think definitely two, but maybe all three of the Cubs games. Because it's his first time back at Wrigley.
Okay. And sure, he'll get a warm reception.
Well, no, they liked him there. He was with them when they won the championship.
Mm-hmm.
When they finally won the World Series. Here's the other thing. I think it's a classy move from AJ. It really is. As opposed to another coach who was here who wanted to bench Chris Chelios at Wrigley Field. Remember that? Babcock wouldn't let him. I mean, he also dissed Mike Modano for getting some milestone game that he was going to have in Minnesota where he had his first ever NHL game. What a tool. He was a great coach, but man, what a tool Mike Babcock turned out to be.
Yeah, he did. And it's
how
come
do you
out,
do that to Chris Chelios?
I don't know. I mean, he did.
I know.
So
I know.
That's why he has the reputation that he has.
I think Ken, they went to Ken Holland, and Ken Holland made Babcock actually play him, or at least suit him up. He didn't play maybe one shift. So Chelios, I think, had one of his relatives or something bring him a beer, and he hit it on the bench.
Yeah.
At Wrigley, which is so chilly. All right, our telephone number is 248-539-9797. Was this job won Saturday? Here's Chris Villar. Cool play. Mahomes behind the back preseason against the Lions to Travis Kelce, who you heard there, courtesy of the Chiefs TV network, and debate whether it was planned or not. I kind of think it kind of was. Kelce obviously said no. Mahomes said no. More importantly, John Jansen says no. So I'm in the minority for a change. 248-539-9797. So we're asking, you know, what plays that you saw, for the first time, you said, oh, my God, I've never seen this before. And mine was the Mike Legg goal for Michigan's hockey, where he had the puck on the blade of his stick, and he wrapped it around and it, like centrifugal force, whatever, and scored a goal like that. And then it's been done a few times since. And I'm convinced, and it's, they call it the Michigan. However, somebody disputes me on this. And maybe some hockey nistas will be able to tell me if I'm right or wrong. It's not called the Michigan, it's called the leg. Why do they call the Forsberg effing goal the Forsberg goal and not the Sweden goal? I don't know, but it's called the Michigan. I've always heard it when somebody else does it, it's called, oh, he did the Michigan.
I don't know.
Maybe it's just me. Okay, here's some more. Pavel Datsyuk, nasty breakaway move. Oh, he had a couple that were, yes, you've never seen that before. Mahomes did that same play in practice earlier in the week. That's Mike in a truck.
I do remember them showing practice film of him doing something like
ESPN
that.
ESPN showed the Chiefs run that play in practice. It was definitely planned. Of course it was planned. You can see Kelsey ready to catch it before it was passed. John is either naive or he has a man crush on Patty. No, his man crush retired from football playing quarterback, so he does not have a man crush on Patty. Stoney was amazed when they first put nets on the basketball hoop. Well, I talked about this the other day when...
When they put on leather helmets?
No.
What are those hard caps that they have on their head now?
Yeah, the Guardian caps, leather helmets.
No. Oh, actual helmets.
Yeah, I know.
They're not using the pig's bladder anymore? What is this?
We were talking about, Hatchett brought, because we were talking about, you know, the Little League World Series and the fact the Tigers were playing in Williamsport. Yeah. Now, obviously, they played in a real, they were playing in a Little League field, but we were talking about different games in strange venues, you know, the Winter Classic and, you know, there might be a baseball game, the Braves and somebody at Bristol Raceway we've seen.
Yeah, I've seen the drawings of it, yeah.
Kind of cool. And I, you know, so always said, what kind of event would you like to see that you haven't seen before? I said, I'd love to see an NBA game played outside in the playground, like at Rucker or in New York or something. I thought it'd be really cool. And they still had chains in the net. Chains instead of the nets. And
then, too many guys would get caught on the net.
Yeah, you're right. And then they could get injured. You're absolutely correct.
Yes. Did you see that Wrigley is going to host a couple of outdoor hockey games?
Yeah, the Big Ten. It's like a two-day doubleheader.
Michigan is playing, I think, Ohio State on the first day.
Yeah. And Michigan State's playing somebody else.
I think Ohio State plays both days, and they're playing Michigan State the second day.
Oh, okay.
I believe.
Vince Carter's between the legs dunk. That was pretty damn unbelievable.
Yeah.
Vince from Davisburg here. The Kenny Pickett fake slide. My jaw was on the floor. Hadn't seen it before and couldn't believe it was not an immediate loss of down.
But it is now.
They changed the rules.
It's the Pickett.
Absolutely. The Pickett. Anyway, if your nose was on strike, would you pick it?
Why would it be on strike?
I don't know. It's just a stupid dad joke. Kevin Mitchell catching a fly ball barehanded.
Yes, that
was great.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Edmonds when he dove towards the wall to catch that ball. Stoney is right. It is the Michigan goal. ESPN did a special, and it was called the Michigan goal. Thank you. Gilly at work. It's called the Michigan. No loser calls it the leg. And this is from a Michigan all sports diehard. Go blue. That's from John. Go blue, John. Gilly at work.
Yeah.
Sometimes I actually do know what I'm talking about. Rare, but there are times. Tom in Wald Lake. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Tom.
Yes, good morning.
The first time I ever saw it, I thought it was pretty cool. Dan Marino, late in the football game, time's running out. They're driving for a winning touchdown, and he goes down and he's doing the, we're going to spike the ball, and then the defense relaxed, and he zipped the pass over to the wide receiver for a touchdown, and they won the game. I thought that was first time I'd ever seen it. I thought it was really cool.
That was, I believe that was a Monday night football game, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. Yeah, that's a great example. Mm-hmm. No, no doubt about it.
How about the first time you saw the Statue of Liberty play?
It's in my backyard, probably. Believe me, it's nothing that I believe in, but I'm kind of surprised the way football and other sports rules are. Explain to me this, John. Why is the spike play, not intentional grounding, and why, if in college football, if the knee touches the ground, the ball is dead, but it's okay for when the holder who has his knee on the ground to catch it and he's not down.
Well, there's a special exception made for the holder.
I know.
And I believe probably the same thing for the spike to be able to stop the clock. I mean, you could argue it's not intended for the tight end or running back, but they are within the realm of the rule.
I guess, yes. The fumble Ruski. That's right. Nebraska ran that play.
Mm-hmm.
The beast mode run. Oh, the first one in the playoff game probably is the one he's talking about. The Stafford fake spike to win against the Cowgirls, as it says here. And here's a terrific one. First time he saw Javi make a contact.
That's got to be from Tom.
No. Javi's had some home runs.
Oh, you think he should be on the team next year?
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, I'm just asking the question. You seem to be impressed.
No. Well, I was kind of like half impressed facetiously.
A little sarcasm in there?
Yeah, a little bit. Right. By the way, Javi will be playing, I think definitely two, but maybe all three of the Cubs games because it's his first time back at Wrigley.
Okay. And sure, he'll get a warm reception.
Well, no, they liked him there. He was with them when they won the championship.
Mm-hmm.
When they finally won the World Series. Here's the other thing. I think it's a classy move from AJ. It really is. As opposed to another coach who was here who wanted to bench Chris Chelios at Wrigley Field. Remember that? Babcock wouldn't let him. I mean, he also dissed Mike Modano for getting like some milestone game that he was going to have in Minnesota where he had his first ever NHL game. What a tool. He was a great coach, but man, what a tool Mike Babcock turned out to be.
Yeah, he did. And it's
how do
come
you
out,
do that to Chris Chelios?
I don't know. I mean, he did.
I know.
So
I know.
That's why he has the reputation that he has.
I think they went to Ken Holland, and Ken Holland made Babcock actually play him, or at least suit him up. He didn't play maybe one shift. So Chelios, I think, had one of his relatives or something bring him a beer. And he like hit it on the bench at Wrigley, which is so chilly. All right, our telephone number is 248-539-9797. Was this job won Saturday? Here's Chris Villar.